Well, the scripture says if we don't teach them, nobody else is going to teach them. They're precious. They're so innocent. And the Bible says if we bring them up in the way that they should go, they don't depart. So many times we think we got to wait till they get grown. No, we need to teach them and bring them up and get stronger each time. Now, thank you, parents and grandparents, for giving us that privilege to stand before them week after week. Today, if you have your Bibles, let's look at Titus chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. Put them in your mind to be subjects of principalities and powers, to obey masters, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no browsers, but gentle, sharing meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes fools, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness of the love of God our Savior towards men, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us by the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he sheds upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things that I wish thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. This morning, we can know that, as our scripture says this morning, and you know, they didn't know, but when the choir sung, "Since Jesus came in my heart." What about you this morning? That's our title today. Since Jesus Christ came in our heart, are there differences? Now the Bible is telling us this morning about a young Jew. His name was Saul. You see, he vowed to destroy Christianity and he fought Jesus all the way. But one day he was going down to Damascus and he was going to destroy Christianity. He met somebody called Jesus. And we find that Paul never flickered, never deviated in one letter after he had met Jesus. Jesus made a difference in his life. He was a chief among sinners, but he became the great Christian, the side of Lord Jesus Christ. Now today when we look at these, we say that in the book of Titus we see the past, the portion, the position, the participation, and then we can see the profit. So what shall it profit us, it said. First of all, I want to look at our past. We ourselves also were sometimes fools, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hated and hating one another. First of all, we can find that the disobedient towards God. Now, I hear people today say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I got saved when I was 8 years old. And I believe it. But are there a difference in your life? You see, the fact is, our past is this. I used to serve the devil. But since Jesus Christ come in my heart, I serve the living God. And we can see this morning that he's saying disobedient toward God. What does that mean? We know, if we're a Christian, we know how to live. We know God's commandments. But yet we are disobedient to God. How many times when we know God's will for our life and we're just disobedient? We want to do our way. We want to have our way. And we're disobedient to God. We also can see that we're guilty of the sins of the flesh. You see, the fact is, that we dive in lust and pleasure. Those are the sins of the flesh. You see, the fact is, we'd rather satisfy the flesh than we are the spirit. Now, the flesh part, we don't have any problems, do we? People go great expense to satisfy the flesh. I was watching a ball game yesterday, and I noticed Tennessee, they had 100,000 people at that ball game yesterday. That's amazing. I'm not a betting man, but I guarantee you they wasn't a tenth of them were in church today. They went there probably a day or so ahead of time. And they partied all the time to go into the stadium. And then when they leave the stadium, they go out and they party again. But they don't have the time to go to the house of God. Folks, there's nothing wrong with sports. But we're not letting it get in our way of serving the living God. Amen. I'm a strong Clemson man. My blood's orange. But I can tell you something. It's no problem. People paid hundreds of dollars for tickets just to go in. But how many got up this morning and said, you know, I've enjoyed my time, but I'm going to serve God. I need to be in the house of God. You see, the fact is, we're disobedient and we're serving the sins of the flesh. Then we're guilty of the sins of disposition. Living in malice and envy and hated and hating one another. These are the sins committed by most church people. Folks, let me tell you something this morning. We can't hate somebody and love God. You see, if we're a Christian, we love everybody. We may not like their way. We don't have to let them run over us. But it shouldn't be in hate and hating them. And I've seen sometimes church people, they got in the groove to the point they actually hate somebody. The Bible says when we regard iniquity in our hearts that God will not hear us. And you see that we are guilty of disposition. Then I want you to notice our portion. After the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior, towards man appear, by the works of righteousness which we have done, not by righteousness which we have done, but according to the mercy he saves us, and by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, which he sheds upon us abundantly through Christ our Lord. First of all, our portion is that Christ loved us. Do you realize this morning the greatest asset that we have today? It's not education, it's not jobs, it's not material things. It's the abundance of love that Jesus Christ has for us. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, God loved us, and Christ died for us. And you see this morning, what a joy to be able to stand today and be able to live the life and knowing that Christ Jesus loves me. Even that I have been a sinner. Even I fall short today, but Christ loves me. Not a little bit. He's a little bit mad at us. No. He either loves us or he don't. And as a sinner, he loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. So we can see that our portion is the fact that Christ loved us. One time I read a story about this little man. He had a little boy, only child. He loved that little boy. That was his life. And he lived for that little boy. One day they were out shopping and a man shot and killed that little boy. His life just came dark. His heart just bursted. Later on that night, he went to the jail and he told the jailer, he said, I need to see the man that killed my little boy. He said, sir, we can't do that. He said, I'll let you go with me. He went to the cell and he looked right in the man, right in the eyes, and he said, sir, I forgive you. You have made my life dark. You have bursted my heart. But I come today to ask you, can I take your place? That's the love God had for us. You see the fact His only begotten Son took our place and forgive us, and He loves us. And then not only to know that He gives us the Holy Spirit. You see, when a child is born, it has his mother. Mother takes care of that child, feeds that child, teaches the child to walk, teaches how to talk. When that child gets over and activated, a mother never gets through with a child, no matter how great or big they are. My mother used to tell us that, son, when you have a child, you'll understand. Right now, they'll be right on your toes. Later on, they get larger, they'll be on your heart. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, I didn't understand that. But I had to. Got one that's 42 today. Wasn't it 42? 48, I'm sorry. I'd helping him out. But I tell you right now, we worry about him all the time. And our daughter. And he's not a person getting in problems, but he's a works with the sheriff's department as a resource and a coach for the school system. And you see all this thing going on in the world today, and people are trying to target cops. It worries you, folks. Used to, I didn't worry because Diane would put them in the bed, and I know that's not going to happen because I was in the other bed. But you see, God gave us the Holy Spirit. And when we become a child of God, the Holy Spirit will direct us and teach us and show us the way. And you see the fact the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and our lives and brings us to that abundance and victory which is in Christ Jesus. Now notice the position. Being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the eternal life. Now, justified, Paul said that it means that access and a title to all the blessing of God to the just. Do you realize that? Now, I know different denominations teach different things, but that's what it means. You see, as a child of God, I will not be denied of the resources that God has. All that God has is available to His children. We're justified in the eyes of God in knowing that all those blessings are ours. We just need to call on. And I thought about out in Texas. People's lives were just totally destroyed. Look at the millions of people out there helping them to recover. They're already in Florida, waiting until after the storm hits to help rebuild those lives. And you see, as Christians, God's already ready to give us the resources to live the life that He expects us to live. Now, notice also that it says that justified man according to be sure, nothing ever separates us from the love of God. Isn't that wonderful? Not only God saved us, but He justified us. Meaning the fact is, there's nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, folks. Now, sometimes your wife loves you, your husband loves you, your mother and dad love you, your children love you, till they get mad. They get mad at its condition. Not God. You see, the fact God loves us, and the fact is there's nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Then I want you to notice this morning our participation. There in verse 8, it said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I walk a will that thou affirm constantly, that which believe in God might obtain good works." You see, the fact is, we are to have good works. Now, if we love God, it's going to show it. Jesus said, I came to do my Father's business. So I send you in the world to the business of God. When Christ comes in our lives, we're different. You see the fact when Jesus Christ comes in a person's life, his life is going to be different. As I said, the Apostle Paul. I remember when I gave my heart to Jesus, my life's always been different. I don't mean I've always done things that I should do, but the Holy Spirit would convict me. And I had to get on my knees and ask God to forgive me. You see, the fact is this morning that you can see that as Jesus said, his Father sent him, and so he sends us. Now I want you to notice our profit. We're living in a day where everybody's, what does it profit me? You know, you can talk to people and ask them, well, what am I going to get out of it? Everybody wants to know. So this morning, Titus helps us to see the profit. What do I profit? He said, these things are good and profitable unto men. First of all, it's profitable that Jesus Christ will walk with us all the days of our life. Just stop a bit. Nobody loves us like Jesus loves us. We're down, he picks us up. And he goes with us not a little while, like we do him sometimes. We just have one time on Sunday is enough, one time a month's enough. But God goes with us every day of our life to the very end of the world. What a great prophet. And then notice, it profits us not only today, but God is going to prepare a place for us called heaven. And you know what? One day, he's going to walk with us. And one day, we're going home to that new home in the sky. You see, this morning, so many times, we forget what it profits us. Just anybody ain't going to heaven. Back to Ben, I can prove to you that by statistic, majority of the people think they're going to heaven are not going to heaven. They're going to be disappointed. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place, I'll come and receive you unto myself, for in my Father's house are many mansions. Not shacks, not a little shelter. You see, we have a mansion. We're not going to get a mansion. We're not going to heaven. You see the fact, it's real, folks. It's not a fairy tale story. It's not something that we can take and lay down or not. It's something real. Either we're going to spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell where the flames never go out and where the worm never dies. You see, the liberal groups today would like us to just take all that out. We don't need to hear about the blood. We don't need to hear about hell. You know why? That's what the devil wants us to believe, folks. So when you stop and think about in your life, each day you live, how are you going to profit from that? I had a man one time, he visited him. He told me, he said, I'll be to church if I don't go fishing. I thought, well, that's kind of strange. Well, next night, about 4 o'clock, they called me. Went in, he said, preacher, I told you, I didn't lie to you. I told you if I didn't go fishing, I'd be at church. I went fishing. You know, you can't say this thing, but I wanted to look him in the eyes and say, why didn't you call your fishing buddies? What can they do for you? You see, the fact is, we play games with the most valuable thing that we have. It's our life. Our life is eternal, folks. Either eternal in hell where we make our bed, or it's going to be eternal in heaven in all of its glory. Now when we look, we see our past. We see our position, our portion and our petition and we participate in our profit. What is your life today? What is it showing today? There used to be an old saying. Older people would say, and you'd walk and say, hey, come in. I know who you belong to. When I seen you walk, I know who's your daddy. Have you ever heard that? Many times I have. You know what? The world, when we walk, they ought to see who we belong to, folks. They ought to see that God is our Heavenly Father. And this morning, I want to ask you these questions. Is 1 hour a week enough for you? Stop and think about it. Now, I know people have to work. People have to work on Sunday. Yet, is 1 hour just enough? Do you know millions of people will go to church today and never go back to next week? Do you think Jesus Christ died that we may have 1 hour devoted to Him? I don't think He did. Did we just live for Him one day? Many people used to say that if God's coming, come on Sunday. That's the only day of the week they serve Him. No, each day. We could serve God on our job. We ought to be the best employee that a company has. You see that we ought to be the best neighbor. We ought to be the best father or mother or grandparents and children every day. Not someday, every day. If God would call today, would you be ready? If God would call your name today, would you be ready to go? Or will you spend your eternal life in hell? You see, we're to live every day as Jesus is coming today. Many times, we don't have home, don't have time to call the preacher and get down and bless us, as they call it. When God comes, the Bible says it's like a thief in the middle of the night. Not even the angels in heaven know the hour and the day when He's coming. But they one sure thing, and across all denominations, folks, Jesus is coming. I ask you this morning, would you be ready? What about your family member? You know, the fact is, I always told my children, and I've said this 100 times probably to you, I always told them, if you see my car parked somewhere, you can park too. I open my refrigerator. Anything in there I drink, you can drink. I try to set the example. You see, we are to be that example. As parents, we are to lead our children to heaven. We are to be faithful to the house of God, that they'll come and know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I've seen it. When they go to college, parents and grandparents, they'll flock to the college. They'll put all the nice stuff, anything they could ever dream of, they put it there. And that's good. We ought to support our children. But I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest things we can is bring them up in the house of God, folks. You see, this morning, there's so many out there. You know why? Mom and Dad's playing games. You see, the fact they've been torn, pulled one way or the other. If Jesus Christ ain't good enough for you, it may not be good enough for them. You see, the fact is, God loves us, folks. He's built us eternal place. And the choice is ours. If you don't know Him today, would you make this decision this morning? It's that important. You see, the fact, time's running out. I notice you've noticed the hurricanes down on the coast, and it was the same way in Texas. Get out! Get out! People stayed by. There were people on the beach yesterday in Miami. Are you going to be the one that's doing that, ignore what God has called us to do and called us to come home? Are we going to say, oh, I'm going to ride it out? There ain't going to be no riding out. Either you're going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. And you see the fact this morning, as I told you about the preacher that day, and he the little boy said he didn't want to go to heaven because his daddy wasn't going. The preacher went there and he was watering his chickens. He said to him, Brother Holcomb, you may deserve going to hell, but don't take this little boy with you. That man went to church that night. He went down, that little boy got behind him and said, Preacher, I changed my mind. My daddy's going to heaven. I want to go. He had about a sixth grade education, but let me tell you something. He surrendered to preach. He helped build a church over there and up this side of Lawrence. He was a great man. He lived his life that's acceptable to the Holy God. You know, either we're leading them to heaven or we're leading them to hell, folks. I've had parents over the years say, well, I want to be their friend. No, they don't need friends, folks. They need a mom and a dad. And when they're wrong, they need to be told wrong. We don't need to make excuses. You see, the fact is, we need to tell them what's right and what's wrong based on the Scripture. And it's important where we go to church. It's important that we listen to the God's Word being taught like it's supposed to be taught, and telling the truth. We're not trying to make it up and water it down to make somebody feel good. You see, this morning, Jesus Christ is here. I believe God is speaking to hearts this morning. And as much as I love you, as hard as I try to study and preach the Word, I can't make that decision for you. That's the decision you have to make. Folks, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. But you know, I don't rejoice over that, because so many people that I know and preach to are going to hell, folks. That's so sad. That is so sad when God made it so simple. He says, believe in your heart and confess through your lips the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. That's that simple this morning. Would you come this morning and